I'd like to suggest that today we challenge ourselves and make ourselves face spiritual truth without flinching. We each appoint ourselves a committee of one and take our humanhood in hand as a child. Now the first challenge is this. Did Joel die? And the reason I put it to you that directly is this. When we are told that this is a spiritual universe, and we know that spirit cannot die, we must face the fact that every individual that we know who can die is being regarded by us with a divided consciousness. The moment we know any individual who can die, we are walking outside the spiritual universe. And when you're walking outside of it, where can you really be walking if there is no other universe? Now, if we were to come out of this cosmic hypnosis and walk in reality, we must accept one ultimatum to ourselves. You are either the human, not the divine image and likeness of God, or you are the Christ man. And there is no in between. There is no half and half. There is Christ man, child of God, or you man, the illegitimate, the orphan, the one who has no father and lives under the law of matter. Now we in this class have come to a place where it is quite likely that very little new truth will be added with words. And rather than seek new truth, the time has come to live by the truth that we know. So that if you are walking this earth under the belief that you are a corporeal being, man of flesh, born to live and to die, then the truth even that you have learned has not made penetration. And you cannot accept or even expect to walk under divine law on this earth. Now, all of the subtleties of Paul in his epistles, all of the subtleties of Master Christ Jesus in his 3-year demonstration are all pointing to the fact that if this is a spiritual universe, it is not a material universe. And this must be fixed. We cannot continue riding two horses at the same time. You are either to live a day in the awareness of your spiritual self, or you must face it that you're going to live that day as a material being under the law of good and the law of evil. And so, now that we have come past the toddling stage, now that we can say that we are children who have begun to grow up, let us see what it means to walk as the Christ, as the accepted child of God, instead of the orphan. We have here a very unusual statement in the chapter under consideration today. It is about the baggage again, but now we're going to see that baggage in a different light than we ever have before. When we look at one sentence, which is the highlight of the entire chapter. Briefly, the baggage is lost. And for 3 weeks, Joel is without it, quite concerned about it, but quite sure it will turn up. But it doesn't. And so there he is in South Africa without his baggage, sure it will turn up, and every day it does not turn up. Until finally, 3 weeks later, he says, I've got to find out what mistake I have made. And so he goes into his contemplation and meditation to discover what is wrong in the way he has seen this situation. And finally he sees very quickly he was waiting for material baggage. And he, of all people, who knows this is a spiritual universe, and so now the wheels begin to turn. Of course, there's no space where baggage could be lost. There's no space that baggage could occupy, and there's no time in which it could be lost. And there's no time in which it could be found. All of this continues until he is totally convinced that his real mistake was in the belief that there is material baggage. Rather, now he knows that baggage represents an idea, a spiritual idea, visibly, materially interpreted by the mind of man. And so he releases the visible interpretation called baggage, accepting the invisible idea of baggage in divine mind, and says, that idea is omnipresent. Now I can release it. Divine mind will place its idea where it belongs. And in the absence of a contrary belief in a human mind, inevitably the spiritual idea will manifest as baggage where it is needed. And with that he went to sleep. Sure enough, the one who could do something about it discovered the baggage, and there it was. Now Joel had his baggage. And we all had, we thought, a principle. But all we really had was half a principle, because we only had a story about a man who decided there is no material baggage and then went to sleep. And I can assure you that if this same incident occurred to you, and you did that which it is said Joel did, your baggage would not appear, because he did quite a bit more. But as Jesus said to his disciples, there is more that I could tell you, but you could not bear it now. Let's see the portion of the story that was untold. And let's find in it the principle that we who wish to walk in Christ can follow. We see that Joel impersonalized the baggage. He saw it as a nothingness. Matter without reality, without fabric, without substance. Fine, true. But do you see that he also did this about himself? That just as baggage was not matter, neither was Joel. That's the other half. There was no physical Joel to receive baggage. And there was no physical baggage. There was only a spiritual universe. Now over here is the baggage, and over here is Joel. What are they? In his realization, he saw baggage as an image in time and space, and also Joel as an image in time and space. But where were these images? In spirit, because spirit is all there is. They were in omnipresence, and spirit omnipresence is not divided. Only the images of form were divided. The image of Joel physically was separated from the image of baggage physically, but both the baggage and Joel in reality were pure spirit, undivided. And it had to be that realization which permitted him to relax and drop the matter, knowing that the oneness of spirit will ever manifest its harmony where it must, and that invisible spiritual idea being omnipresent, when there was no one out here to accept two images, but rather one who would accept one spiritual reality, then the invisible spirit being omnipresent would bring the two images together in the same place as they were in the invisible spirit. Now, once you capture that the word baggage is a symbol for everything else in this universe, then your principle begins to expand and multiply. Joel's baggage had to come because the power of spirit is ever fulfilling itself. It will not produce an image in the visible without sustaining that image. The divine image of man is ever sustained by the self-fulfilling spirit, which is the very substance of that man. And as a consequence, wherever you are, whoever you are, and whenever you are there, your own must come to you, because you are never separated from your baggage, your household, your companion, your truth, your reality. All is embodied in the one invisible self, and there is never a separation in spirit. With this knowledge, you can walk the earth. I can never be separated from anything that is mine. But I must translate these things that I call mine back to their spiritual identity. All things are the invisible spirit, and in the knowledge that spirit is one and is never divisible, I, accepting myself as spirit, and no material world whatsoever, know that I have found the invisible kingdom of God, and that all things must be added in divine sequence, in the right quantities, in the right place at the right time. And so he rested, as we must learn to rest, in the fact that not only his baggage had to come to him, but the fullness of the embodiment of Christ had to be revealed in this time-space world of images. All that belongs to you is ever yours. There is absolutely no power to take it from you. The only power to keep it from you lies in your disbelief in your own spiritual selfhood. By the same token, nothing can be added to you. For all that you are and ever will be is already a completed embodiment in the Christ. You remember that in Ecclesiastes. Nothing can be added or subtracted from the spiritual universe. Now, when you have a fairly good grasp of this, you do not identify things or persons, but you retranslate everything back to spiritual reality. In other words, you reconceive the universe immaculately as it is, and you consciously walk through the immaculate universe, knowing that I am never divided from myself. If I have a need, it is completely expressed in the invisible world. Whatever need I may have is already a spiritual idea fulfilled and invisibly manifest, and must come to me fulfilled in my acceptance of the invisible spiritual nature of this universe. You see, we have walked the earth and have made ourselves orphans. We have denied the fatherhood of God. We have insisted that we are material beings. And those of us who have even had a measure of the knowledge that we are not have been able to receive that impulse from the Spirit which shows you that omnipotence rests only in the realization of Christ within. I must be wherever the Father is. There is no place God can be that the reality of you is not. We are not limited to the form, but rather we learn that Paul has told us that the false god of this world has made us ashamed and afraid so that we deny the Christ light within. But Jesus, he said, was not afraid and ashamed to declare himself one with God. And in the facing of the fact of a spiritual universe, which is God, which is the One, you find it impossible to avoid that confrontation where you must demand of yourself the acceptance that I and the Father are one and can never be separate, can never be divided, can never exist as a two-ness in reality. Now ask yourself and answer yourself within yourself. Who are you? To what name do you answer? Are you walking as that one? Are you walking in a spiritual universe? Or are you dividing heaven and earth? Are you dividing God and man? Are you living in a body, in a mind, in a life, which is not the body, the mind, the life of God? If you are, then you are the creature who receives not the things of God for one reason alone. You have made yourself an orphan. You refuse to be the child of God. You refuse to walk in the body of God, in the mind of God, in the soul of God, in the life of God. You refuse to accept the incorporeal nature of reality. And for you always there will be baggage separated from you. People separated from you. Things separated from you. Conditions dividing you. Why? Because in the world of matter, this is the nature of the material universe. But in the world of spirit, which knows no opposite, there is no baggage that can be separated from you. The Christ says, I have no baggage to lose. The Christ says, I have no health to lose. I have no wealth to lose. The Christ says, I have neither health that is good nor health that is bad. I am neither rich nor poor. I am neither here nor there. The Christ says, I can never be born and never die. The only way we can find the treasures of divine law functioning in our lives is to pass the quotation stage and spend our day accepting God as the only life on this planet. We must resolutely and consciously walk forth with the knowledge that I am spirit, God-governed, living in a spiritual universe, and not under the law of matter. The law of matter has no power whatsoever over my Christ self, and there is no other self. We must learn to look at our physical problems, our mental, social, economic problems, and recognize that each of these problems is baggage, a false sense of a material quantity and quality, and that our good health is only separated from us because we have accepted a material sense of health. Our income is separated from us because we have accepted a material sense of income. Our happiness separated from us for the same reason. Always fear, confusion, doubt, resentment. These are the feelings we must look at with the eye of a critic who says, if I fear, I am denying Christhood. If I doubt, I am denying Christhood. If I am unhappy, I am denying Christhood. If I lack, if I am limited, if I look at the germ and worry about it, I am denying Christhood. If I am separated from my good, I am denying Christhood. I must retranslate myself back into the child of God, the Spirit of God, and know that the Spirit of God is now under divine law. It matters not what appears, what strikes, what threatens. It matters not if your toothbrush shows you gums are bleeding. It matters not if there's an issue of blood. Nothing matters except the realization that Spirit is my name. Divine consciousness is running a perfect universe here, there, and everywhere now. And in this acceptance that divine consciousness is the all and is infallible, I can look at the issue of blood and realize the hypnotism of it. I can look at the baggage and say, mine own must come to me. Who can take away my health if my name is Spirit Christ? Who can take away anything that is yours? What competitor can rob you of that which is involved in your spiritual truth? Our place, then, is not to go out shopping for new buyers, new clients, new customers, new anything. Because this is the physical, material self. Our place is to know that all that I shall need throughout eternity is embodied in myself. And that the images of myself that appear in time and in space will conform to the harmony of my inner being when I accept that the fatherhood of God is the source revealed by Jesus, by other masters, as the one source of all life. There is no other source for life, no other source for law, no other source for substance. Only the Father within. That is my source and my substance and my being. Now, when you can say to yourself, who are you? And answer correctly within, You are at the point where you are making a demand upon yourself to walk forth in that identity. This morning, there should have been an adjustment made in which you completely reconceive the physical universe in your consciousness and saw that there would not be people in your life today. There would not be things, there would not be conditions. There would only be the activity of spirit wherever you went. And then as you appeared in a physical form, mingling with others in a physical form, you would not see them as separate from yourself any more than Joel saw the baggage as separate from himself. You would see that behind the mask of corporeality is the one invisible spirit of all. You would be accepting divine law. To look unto me, the invisible Father, the one source. Now we are told by Paul that the firstborn of every creature is the Christ. We are told in Revelation that the only true witness to the universe of the Father is the firstborn of every creature, the Christ. And we who seek the grace of the Father must accept ourselves as that firstborn, which is the only witness of reality. You see, we have been too content with the words, too content with the thoughts, the ideas, the intellectual attitudes, too content with being entertained and amused, feeling that now I have this idea, I can walk to some degree in harmony. Now, when Joel lost his baggage, a wonderful thing happened to him. If he hadn't lost it, we would not have learned this great principle that I and my baggage can never be divided. I and my good can never be divided. I and my identity can never be divided. We can look then at seeming error, seeming confusion, seeming lack, seeming problems, and learn the great truth that because spirit is all, there is no place where the problem can be. The problem can only exist in a false state of consciousness. There is no place for it. There is no place for a problem in spirit, and spirit is all. Many people have been troubled by the appearance of blood. I'd like those of you who may have that problem come up from time to time to know this. The woman who rushed up to Jesus also had an issue of blood. And the symbology there of her being healed by touching the hem of his robe is this. After the issue of blood, there was a healing. Oftentimes, an issue of blood is a sign that a great spiritual change is taking place in you. You may be frightened by it until you know that. Then you will discover the truth of it, that when there is a great issue of blood in some way, it is frequently a sign that you have gone through a great spiritual change. And the spiritual change now manifests as a physical change, and when you know that, you will not be alarmed. This was what happened to the woman who touched the hem of his robe. She had been going through a great spiritual change. The issue of blood was the outer sign of it. And when she touched the realization of Christ, that was the end of it. Do not be alarmed at anything in this world. There is always a point behind it, and someday in retrospect you will find that point. Evil has no existence in the spiritual universe. And that is where we are. Now, your function is not to consider the opinions of the world, but to be that one who is a majority. It may seem like a big task, but that is the ultimatum each of us faces when we accept that our one goal is to walk with God. We must be the one who is a majority. You've heard the words wholeness, fullness, glory. Remember that the wholeness of your being is already established. If you are trying to become whole, you cannot. If you are trying to attain the fullness of your being, you cannot. If you are trying to be a place where the glory of the Father is made manifest, this is another part of the illusion. The wholeness, the glory, the fullness are all established in your being now. God is-ing everywhere. To be the one who is the majority, the one who is one with God, you walk in the realization that God is-ing. God is functioning. Spirit is being its perfect self. And if something seems apart from you, it is illusion. If something seems wrong with you, it is only false consciousness. Nothing can be wrong with you. But plenty can be wrong with your false concept of yourself. And therefore, get out of the false concept of yourself and accept yourself as God sees you. Consciously, Christing yourself. Yes, we cannot tell this at the early stages of this work, but there is no reason why you should be shocked to know that you must live each day as the Christ. In a spiritual universe, aware that you are separated from no thing and no one. Christ is inseparable from Christ, and Christ is the one infinite divine image and likeness of the Father. All things translated into their invisible self are the one invisible Christ. I can be separated from no man. I can be separated from no help. I can be separated from no thing. For there is no man and there is no thing. There is only Christ invisible. Once you accept the fraction, you are denying the infinite. Once you accept the lie, you are denying the truth. Once you accept mortality, you are denying spiritual immortality as the only reality. And so you become observant, diligently alert and watchful. This finite condition does not enter your consciousness to defile it. This problem, this lack, this limitation, this need, you learn the great secret This need only exists in a false, finite human consciousness. This need is already fulfilled. Accept yourself in spirit. Accept everyone you know in spirit. And rest and watch the manifestation of the need fulfilled. Christ fulfilling itself. How many of us have not put this to the test? How many of us still think that I can figure this out for myself? Think of the mental barriers that we have built up, limiting ourselves to our sense of things. Limiting ourselves to our mind concepts, when if the world depended on us, we know very well that would be the end of the world. You and I weren't up last night turning the tides. We didn't get up this morning and set the sun up there in the sky. But in our mind, if we determined that we were going to do these things, there would be no sun, there would be no tides turned. We couldn't even make our own hearts beat. Why not then relax into that force of being which now, at this instant, and forevermore, is maintaining its perfect selfhood everywhere? It knows nothing about separation between man and God, between man and his needs. Only our human minds know of these separations. It knows nothing about germs infecting the human body. It knows nothing about old age. Only our human minds know old age, infection, lack and limitation. And this human mind and its counterpart, the universal mind, in their awareness of a world that is not, have robbed us of our identity. You depend on no man to reclaim all that is yours. There is nothing any person in this world or any condition among nations can withhold from you. We each have complete and total dominion over the perfect universe that we truly inhabit. Now, every moment that you permit yourself to live in the divided consciousness, you are turning to the God of this world and away from the spiritual universe of the Father. There is not a single problem that you have that is real. Never has been. Just the other day, I had a little session with a Lama from Tibet. I don't know if there are any others in this country or not. And he said something very interesting. Something I had been trying to formulate into words many times. He said, there are no objects when you remove the subject. There are no claims or problems when you remove the human sense of life. Now, these men from Tibet who have been scattered by the communists in China, this would appear to be a very serious thing for the world. But you can begin to see that now these men will be scattered to the four winds. They will appear in many countries. And always that which the human mind interprets as a bad thing is not that at all. Now there are young boys who can study here with this Lama. Now they can receive from him wisdom that the world had not received for hundreds of years. Always what you consider the bad in your life is only the breaking up of those barriers that you have built to the realization of Christ. And there need not be a continuation of those barriers or of those problems. The subject must be removed. And the subject is your human consciousness. There is a tendency to indulge our humanness instead of denying it. When we were told to deny ourselves, it was to bring us face to face with the knowledge that the self we were to deny is the false sense of self. And only in the denial of it could the Christ self shine through. Now look again at your life, at every evil you consider to be in it, and crucify not the evil, but your belief that the evil is there. Truly, when you say there is evil in your life, the real error there is that you are denying Christ as the substance of your being. And you can fight those errors endlessly and even win sometimes, but you'll still be out of Christhood. Remove the subject. The subject is the human selfhood. There never was one. And it doesn't matter if you see one in the mirror, or if the one you see in the mirror is occasionally ill. There is no such subject. There is only the invisible child of God. And when you have accepted that invisible child of God to be your name, then your next responsibility is to not go forth and deny it by word or deed. Look at the masters. What made them masters? They walked in spiritual bodies. They did not walk in physical bodies. They did not walk in human minds. Where did they get their spiritual bodies? Where did they get their infinite divine mind? Look unto me. They merely accepted the true nature of being as a spiritual body and a divine mind, and then refused to go outside of that spiritual body, outside of that divine mind, by human deeds. They were true to that which they accepted. We, who are not masters, have the same spiritual body and the same divine mind as they. The difference was that they accepted the truth of being, and we put it off. None of us has less of a spiritual body than Jesus, or less of a divine mind. For we are the same firstborn. As Paul put it, the firstborn of every creature is what he revealed unto us. But the child in us that is still playing with the milk instead of the meat, with the toys instead of the reality, the humanness of us that still wants to live in the masquerade, refuses to accept that we are that one. Now, there'll be a lecture next week, and one after that, and one after that. But I can assure you, those who merely hear the words will be shortchanging themselves. There must be that dedicated effort which rigorously rejects all that denies your identity. If you have a problem and have to sit down to figure out what to do, you are accepting something that denies your identity. The correct procedure should be, now let me see, is there a problem in Christ? And then the answer follows swiftly, of course not.